Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Now, Secretary Clinton wasn't the only cabinet member in Asia. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke, the first Chinese-American to hold that post, joined Energy Secretary Stephen Chu on a week-long tour of green technology sites in China. And Secretary Locke is on the line with us now. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jeff.
I want to hear about this trip to China. You know, we hear so many mixed signals on where China is headed with energy. We hear they're racing ahead on clean energy investment. Oh no, they're building a dirty coal power plant every week. Well, which is it?
Well, actually, they're doing both, and that's both the good news and the bad news. We were really trying to press the point that pursuit of clean energy will have enormous economic benefits as well as environmental benefits both to China and the United States.
Now, one thing you emphasized on the trip was the importance of sharing energy technology. How does that benefit China? How does that benefit the U.S.?
Well, clearly, there are great opportunities for collaboration. Secretary Chu and the Chinese were able to announce a joint scientific endeavor in which both countries will contribute about $7.5 million each to create a joint research center. This is an opportunity where the intellectual property would be owned by both, and therefore we can share it with the whole world, in fact. And we visited quite a few places that show the incredible potential of clean energy technologies. And interestingly enough, two of those featured American-made products. There was a U.S. company that's producing the most advanced clean-burning diesel bus engines. In fact, they're working on technology where the air coming out at the end of the tailpipe will actually be cleaner than the air going into the engine. So these are examples of win-win opportunities.
Now, I know some U.S. business interests have expressed some concern about sharing technology, energy technology, around this area of intellectual property rights and, you know, keeping our competitive edge. How do we remain the leaders in clean energy technology if we're sharing this with our chief competitors?
Well, that's why it's very, very important that we also pursue intellectual property rights protections and make sure that U.S. companies are able to sell their products and services in China and that whatever technology they introduce into China is not copied and ripped off. Mm. Progress is being made. Of course, the U.S. believes that more progress must be made and faster. But we simply cannot wait for the Chinese to develop their own domestic industries on alternative energy, because every year that we wait, it makes it even harder to reverse the effects of climate change.
Do these concerns about getting the clean energy in time to meet the climate challenge trump concerns about intellectual property rights and competitiveness?
I don't see those as mutually exclusive. The Chinese leaders have indicated that they are willing to pay for the technology. They'd like us to share more. There is just so much to be done. And U.S. companies are saying that they're able to sell their technology. They'd like to sell more, of course. And we need to fight protectionism within China that might favor domestic companies. That is the biggest hurdle that American companies face. It's the fact that they're being shut out from some of these bidding opportunities to build a clean power plant, and that the Chinese might be favoring just Chinese companies.
Now, a pretty big chunk of China's emissions come from the manufacture of goods that primarily we buy here in the U.S. And I've heard Chinese officials say, hey, you guys should be responsible for those emissions because you're the ones buying these goods. What do you make of that argument?
Well, first of all, the Chinese certainly have the funds to help those companies clean up their act. And I've always believed that, quite frankly, because we embrace these environmental standards, along with health and human safety standards and workers' rights and labor standards, it really puts American companies at a competitive disadvantage because those goods can be produced at a cheaper cost, which makes buying those goods much more attractive than goods made in America.
But do we bear no responsibility for our consumption? I mean, we are the ones buying a lot of those goods that the Chinese manufacture simply for export.
Well, that's why I think our trade agreements need to incorporate these basic minimum standards of human rights, health and safety standards, environmental regulations, and I believe that they should incorporate standards that address climate change as well.
you're the first Chinese-American to be our Secretary of Commerce, and your traveling partner on this trip to China, the Energy Secretary, Stephen Chu, also Chinese-American. I'm wondering, how did that affect your reception there in China and your ability to build relationships with the Chinese?
Well, it certainly, I think, gave us more attention in the press, and it was a great opportunity to use our special prestige, so to speak, to get the message out to both the people of China and the government leaders of China on how serious climate change is and how all nations, including the developing countries, must take action to curb greenhouse gas emissions.
U.S. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke reporting on his recent trip to China. Thank you for your time, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
Coming up, it might help your garden grow, but cypress mulch could be eating away at Louisiana's swamps. Keep listening to Living on Earth.